This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Mark Fogle coming home, Pennsylvania resident coming home. President Trump fulfilling a promise he made to Mark's mother in Butler, Pennsylvania, over the summer when President Trump was almost assassinated. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. A lot going on. It's a busy, busy day. Every day is busy with this president, obviously. But great news about Mark Fogle. I'm very, very excited about this. We'll talk to Senator Dave McCormick about this a little bit later on the show today. And we're going to talk to our buddy Captain John Hoyt later in the show. He's the second national vice president now of the National Fraternal Order of Police. They put out a letter today. You know, they had endorsed President Trump. They're now endorsing Kash Patel to be FBI director. So that's a big deal as well. So we'll talk about that as the show progresses. And, you know, the Democrats are going crazy about all of these unconstitutional, quote unquote, moves the president is making, calling it a constitutional crisis. They've learned nothing from this election. They really haven't. They've learned nothing. All these DOGE efforts is unconstitutional. The president has the right to cut funding. The president has the right to cut the size of government and the executive branch. He has the right to do these things. These people can't stand this because he's winning. But they haven't learned anything, because if they learned anything, what they would be focusing on right now is they'd be focusing on trying to rebuild their party to be the working class blue collar party that it once was. They're not doing that. They're still just going to be the anti-Trump party. So as long as they're the anti-Trump party, they're going to go nowhere. I'm telling you right now, they will go nowhere, and it will be a continued disaster for them. And good riddance. Good riddance. My tolerance for playing these people is very, very, it's getting smaller by the day. But nevertheless, there are some things I do have to play just to show you how crazy they are. Like, I mean, Maxine Waters, for example, and President Trump responded to her talking to Brett Baer yesterday. Maxine Waters, who's crazy, who stood outside the Department of Education harassing a security guard there. Crazy Maxine, who led a chant years ago, impeach 45. Impeach 45. It was the most low-energy chant in the history of chants, except until Chuck Schumer led the nursing home chant of 2025. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest until we get Jell-O. But anyway, here is President Trump responding to Maxine Waters for her lunacy the other day. This is cut number 9.
I watched some of these horrible people like Maxine Waters, real sleaze, and I watched her screaming at the security guard or whoever he was. Actually, he was pretty cool.
At the Department of Education.
He was pretty cool standing in front of the Department of Education. She's only looking for trouble. She's not looking to help people learn. Look, tell Maxine and all of her friends that we're last in education out of 40 states. We're last. We're number 40. But we're number one in cost per pupil. That's all you have to know. We have to make a change. I want to send education back to the states.
Good. Good. Great. Excellent. Bravo. Bravo. Excellent. Now, Pete Hegseth did something today that the left is probably wishing they could melt down about, but they're having a tough time figuring out how. So they're going to take some time to figure this one out. But Fort Bragg is now Fort Bragg again. Okay, it was renamed to Fort Liberty. Pete Hegseth has renamed it back to Fort Bragg. This is cut number 14. This is a video of him.
Pursuant to the authority of the Secretary of Defense, Title 10, United States Code, Section 113, I direct the Army to change the name of Fort Liberty, North Carolina, to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's right. Bragg is back.
Now, the left would love to freak out about this. They would. Because the original name was for a Confederate general named Braxton Bragg. For a lot of people who served at Fort Bragg, it meant something that they were at Fort Bragg. And now it's Fort Bragg again, but it's now actually renamed after a gentleman from World War II, Roland L. Bragg. So it's now Fort Bragg, but it's Roland L. Bragg. It's a great, great little trick. I love it. I do. I love it because everybody's happy that it's Fort Bragg again. And it's a tribute now to Roland L. Bragg, a World War II hero who earned the Silver Star and Purple Heart for his exceptional courage during the Battle of the Bulge. This change underscores the installation's legacy of recognizing those who have demonstrated extraordinary service and sacrifice for the nation. So you see what they did here in a brilliant move? I mean, this is brilliant. They were able to get the name Bragg back on, which people wanted, not necessarily because it was named after a Confederate general, but because it had been Fort Bragg and they had served at Fort Bragg and there was a lot of pride around it and they wanted it to be Fort Bragg. They found a way to do that while also honoring somebody who is not a Confederate general, who served our country bravely in World War II. And I just love this story. I love this because the left would love right now to be screaming that Trump is renaming a military base after a Confederate general. Like, they would love to be doing that, and they can't. So you're not really going to hear this story anywhere, ever. It's just, you're not going to hear it. They're going to pretend like it's not happening. Or they might, like, make a little thing about it. They might go, oh, you know, well, he changed it to Roland Bragg. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, he's still a white supremacist. Roland Bragg is probably still a white supremacist. No? No, he's actually... Oh! Oh! Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Not a white supremacist. Served in World War II. Interesting about him. Well, all right. Well, he probably helped the Nazis. No? Okay. He fought the Nazis. All right. Well, then I got nothing. I got nothing for you. I don't know what to tell you. Okay? I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure there's still a way to criticize this. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. There has to be a way. We'll find it for you. Don't you worry. We'll find it. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's great to have you with us today on a very, very busy, busy day. But I think that was such a cool site, like psychological, you know, and you know, they were all like, oh my God, he renamed it back to Bragg. It's like, map, different Bragg. Ah. So, you know, we were just talking to Susan Crabtree about the United States Secret Service. They released a recruitment video. And this is fantastic, too. They released a recruitment video. I really like this a lot. And it's video and audio. Some of it is audio. It's a minute-long video. So if you're streaming on YouTube, you're going to get to watch it. If you're not streaming on YouTube, I'll kind of narrate it a little bit for you. But it is the United States Secret Service. This is their recruitment video, Cut 17. Take a listen.
America was founded on an idea of freedom. America's always stepped forward in time of need throughout our short but powerful history.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Tear down this wall.
We've been there for all of it.
Second plane hit the tower.
Our heroes are humble. They have an inner pride to keep this idea alive. Protectors are born, they're not made. America's Secret Service protecting this Super Bowl is asking a few more to step forward.
There you go. That's good stuff right there. Very, very good stuff. And I don't know. I kind of got chills. If you missed it, I'll retweet the video for you. It's very, very cool. Very cool. So good stuff. By the way, with Roland Bragg, I saw a story from the Fayetteville Observer where they talked to his family. A couple interesting things about this for you that I thought you'd appreciate here. The Army paratrooper whom Fort Liberty will regain the name Bragg, was born June 11th, 1923, in Sabatis, Maine, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, to Calvin and Ella Stevens Bragg. Little is known about the Silver Star recipient, PFC Roland L. Bragg's military service, aside from information shared by his daughter, Linda French, in his 1999 obituary. In the obituary, French told Maine's Portland Press Herald that her father served during World War II with a unit that jumped into enemy territory and cleared the way for others. She said he was awarded the Purple Heart and was captured briefly by the Nazis. Now, obviously, in this article, they change it to the Germans. But technically speaking, they were the Nazis. I'm just pointing that out because I think it's ironic that Donald Trump, who's been accused of being a Nazi and being Hitler, just renamed a military base, because he's the commander-in-chief, so it's ultimately his call. He just renamed a military base after a guy who was fighting the Nazis and was literally captured by the Nazis. Quote, the only reason he got away was he was a Mason. The German soldier was a fellow Mason. The guy hit me over the head and then took him off with an ambulance. So the Mason brotherhood trumped everything else. Look, I know a lot of German soldiers were not part of the Nazi party. I understand that. But you know damn well that if this was being reported about something that a Democrat did, it would be the Nazi. It would be all Nazi would be every other word in this article. It wouldn't be a German soldier. Come on. You know I'm right about that. The newspaper reported that French said her father drove the ambulance with other Americans inside through enemy fire to safety, but he never knew if anyone else survived. It wasn't until a few years before Bragg's death that he heard from one of those Americans who survived. At that point, my father started talking more to us about his war experience. It opened up a dam, she's quoted as saying. Archived newspaper clippings show that after the war, Bragg operated Noble Borough Building Movers for 25 years. He was also an elected member of a community board and active in the American Legion. A very short missive in the social section of the September 27th, 1945 independent newspaper, which identified those who attended an engagement party, identified him as Corporal Roland Bragg. He's also mentioned in the book, The Bitter Woods, the dramatic story told at all echelons, the supreme command to squad leader of the crisis that shook the Western coalition, Hitler's surprise offensive, published in 1969 by President Dwight Eisenhower's son, John S. D. Eisenhower. So in other words, if this base had been renamed by Joe Biden, the base would go on to talk about how a brave, heroic American soldier who stood up at Hitler's surprise offensive and helped defeat the Nazis at a critical moment in World War II, the base is being renamed after him. Instead, the article is like, this guy who fought the Germans. The Germans. Okay. The Portland Herald obituary says Bragg grew up during the Depression and helped his family pay the mortgage by peddling vegetables the family raised on their farm to wealthy people along the Maine coast. On its Silver Star recipient page, military.com states Bragg was a member of the 17th Airborne Division, the Golden Talons, when he was awarded the Silver Star for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, in action. The memorandum that orders the name be changed back to Fort Bragg states the following, quote, he received the Silver Star for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity and the Purple Heart for wounds sustained during the Battle of the Bulge. During these hellish conditions and amidst ferocious fighting, PFC Bragg saved a fellow soldier's life by commandeering an enemy ambulance and driving it 20 miles to transport a fellow wounded soldier to an Allied hospital in Belgium. So there you go. A great story, and I thought that was a cool Jedi mind trick right there. Okay. Jackie had to reschedule. All right, one of our guests had to reschedule. No problem. That video, that Secret Service video was directed by Michael Bay, Matt DeSantis. Is that true?
It is true, yes.
Wow.
That's why it was so
Oh, okay.
Early.
Just a heads up, guys. I think they're going to take President Trump and Elon Musk. The audio of this in the White House. Musk is in there with his son in the Oval Office right now wearing his dark MAGA hat.
I believe Kirk has the video ready.
Great. Excellent. All right. Why don't we do this? Should we take a quick break so we can come back and hear this? Or should we keep going? What do you want me to do?
Better off going right to it now.
Let's go right to it now.
Senator McCormick at 4:30.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's go to it right now. President Trump speaking in the Oval Office.
So thank you very much. We had a busy day today. The king just left, and we've had a great discussion, terrific discussion concerning Gaza and everything else. We had discussions also about Saturday at 12 o'clock. It's going to be a big moment. We'll see what happens. I don't expect much happening with these people, but we'll see what happens. And we're going to be signing a very important deal today. It's Doge, and I'm going to ask Elon to tell you a little bit about it and some of the things that we found, which is shocking. Billions and billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse. And I think it's very important. And that's one of the reasons I got elected. I say we're going to do that. Nobody had any idea it was that bad, that sick, and that corrupt. And it seems hard to believe that judges want to try and stop us from looking for corruption, especially when we found hundreds of millions of dollars worth, much more than that, in just a short period of time. We want to weed out the corruption. And it seems hard to believe that a judge could say, we don't want you to do that. Well, so maybe we have to look at the judges, because that's a very serious, I think it's a very serious violation. I'll ask Elon Musk to say a few words, and we'll take some questions. Elon, go ahead.
Sure. So the at a high level, if you say, what is the goal of Doge, or I think a significant part of the presidency is to restore democracy. This may seem like, well, aren't we in a democracy? Well, if you don't have a feedback loop, okay, we'd have to, if you sorry. So your gravitas can be difficult sometimes. If there's not a good feedback loop from the people to the government, and if you have rule of the bureaucrat, if the bureaucracy is in charge, and then what meaning does democracy actually have? If the people cannot vote and have their will be decided by their elected representatives in the form of the president and the Senate and the House, then we don't live in a democracy, we live in a bureaucracy. So it's incredibly important that we close that feedback loop, we fix that feedback loop, and that the public, the public's elected representatives, the president, the House, and the Senate, decide what happens, as opposed to a large unelected bureaucracy. This is not to say that there aren't some good, there are good people who are in the federal bureaucracy, but you can't have an autonomous federal bureaucracy. You have to have one that is responsive to the people. That's the whole point of a democracy.
He needs to let the president speak. Come on.
And if you looked at the...
You're not the president. Give back to President Trump.
What do you think of the way things...
Is Roger going to get upset if I talk over Elon or just when I talk over President Trump?
Unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative. And this is... This is not something that people want. And it's not...
Right.
It does not match the will of the people. So it's
back
just something we've got to fix. And
good.
We've also got to address the deficit. So we've got a $2 trillion deficit. And if we don't do something about this deficit, the country's going bankrupt. I mean, it's really astounding that the interest payments alone on national debt exceed the Defense Department budget. Which is shocking, because we spend a lot of money on defense.
You're not going to get invited back, I'm telling you.
If that just keeps going, we're essentially going to bankrupt the country. So what I really want to say is, it's not optional for us to reduce the federal expenses. It's essential. It's essential for America to remain
solvent as a country. And with that, Mr. President,
And it's essential for America to have the resources necessary to provide things to its citizens and not simply be servicing vast amounts of debt.
And now, Mr. President.
And also, could you mention some of the things that your team has found, some of the crazy numbers, including the woman that walked away with about $30 million,
right,
et cetera?
Well, we do find it sort of rather odd that, there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow manage to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth while they are in that position, which is, what happened to USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. There seems to be mysteriously they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where does it come from? I think the reality is that they're getting wealthy at taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it.
Damn right.
So, we're looking at, if you look at, say Treasury, for example, basic controls that should be in place, in any company, such as making sure that any given payment has a payment categorization code, that there is a comment field that describes the payment, and that if a payment is on the do not pay list, that you don't actually pay it. None of those things are true currently. So the reason that departments can't pass audits is because the payments don't have a categorization code. It's like just a massive number of blank checks just flying out the building. So you can't reconcile blank checks. You've got comment fields that are also blank, so you don't know why the payment was made. And then we've got this truly absurd, a do not pay list, which can take up to a year for an organization to get on a do not pay list. And this, we're talking about terrorist organizations, we're talking about known fraudsters, known aspects of waste, known things that do not match any congressional appropriation, can take up to a year to get on the list, and even once on the list is not used. It's mind-blowing. So what we're talking about here, we're really just talking about adding common sense controls that should be present, that haven't been present. So you say, how could such a thing arise? That seems crazy. When you understand that really everything is geared towards complaint minimization, so that then you understand the motivations. So if people receive money, they don't complain, obviously. But if people don't receive money, they do complain. And the fraudsters complain the loudest and the fastest. So then when you understand that, then it makes sense. Oh, that's why everything just... They approve all the payments at Treasury, because if you approve all the payments, you don't get complaints. But now we're saying that no, actually we are going to complain if money is spent badly, if your taxpayer dollars are not spent in a sensible and frugal manner, then that's not okay. Your tax dollars need to be spent wisely on things that matter to people.
Okay, now get back to the president.
I mean, these things, it's just common sense. It's not. It's not draconian or radical. I think it's really just saying, let's look at each of these expenditures and say, is this actually in the best interest of the people?
Yep.
And if it is, it's approved. If it's not, we should think about it.
Right, Mr. President.
So, there's crazy things like just cursory examination of Social Security, and we've got people in there that are 150 years old. Now, do you know anyone who has 150? I don't. Okay. They should be on the Guinness Book of World Records. They're missing out. You know, that's a case where, like, I think they're probably dead. It's my guess. Or they should be very famous. One of the two. And then there's a whole bunch of Social Security payments where there's no identifying information. Well, like, why is there no identifying information? Obviously, we want to make sure that people who deserve to receive Social Security do receive it, and that they receive it quickly and accurately. Also, another crazy thing. So, you know, one of the things is, like, we are trying to sort of right-size the federal bureaucracy, just make sure that this obviously there needs to be a lot of people working for the federal government, but not as many as currently. So we're saying, well, okay, well, let's, if people can retire, you know, with full benefits and everything, that would be good. They can retire.
President Trump's been very polite right now.
And then we were told, this is actually, I think, a great anecdote, because we were told...
All right, here's what we're going to do. Just pause it. We're going to hit pause. Literally pause it. Thank you. We're going to pause this. Don't go anywhere. We have Senator Dave McCormick coming on. But don't leave. I don't want you, you know, don't turn on, like, just stay right there. We'll come back to this. We have the ability to pause, and we're going to pause. We're going to pause this, and then after Senator McCormick, we're going to pick it up right where it is. So, is it paused? We paused it. Okay, great. And then we'll get into, hopefully, what President Trump has to say about a lot of things. So, and we might even be able to fast forward a little bit if you know how to catch my drift. So, anyway, Senator Dave McCormick, my guest, straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting President, Senator Dave McCormick. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He could be president one day. Very talented guy. But President Trump is also in the Oval Office right now with Elon Musk. We have it on pause so that we can get it to you. But, you know, the big news today brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Big story, of course, is that Mark Fogel has been released by the Russians. He is now free, coming home after President Trump fulfilled a major promise to his family. And, you know, Senator McCormick signed a letter with Senator Fetterman saying, you know, begging the president for his release. And President Trump had made a promise as a candidate to Mark Fogel's mother that he would get Mark home. And that promise has been fulfilled. Why don't we jump back in here just in case something came up for the senator and we can jump out as soon as he calls in. What you want to do that, Matt? Should we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's do that.
You know, and the kind of things we're doing are, I think, very, very simple and basic. They're not, we're, you know, what I mentioned, for example, about Treasury, just making sure that payments that go out, taxpayer money that goes out, is categorized correctly, that the payment is explained, that organizations on the Do Not Pay list, which are, takes a lot to get there, that actually are not paid, which currently they are paid. These are not individual judgment decisions. These are about simply having sensible checks and balances in the system itself to ensure that taxpayer money is spent well. So it's got nothing to do with, like, say, a contract for some company of mine at all.
But if there is a conflict of interest when it comes to you yourself, for instance, you've received billions of dollars in federal contracts when it comes to the Pentagon, for instance, which the president, I know, has directed you to look into.
Yeah.
Are you policing yourself in that? Is there any sort of accountability check and balance in place that would provide any transparency for the American people?
Well, all of our actions are fully public. So if you see anything, you say, like, wait a second.
Okay.
Hey,
Elon, let's go to United States Senator Dave McCormick right now, joining us on a busy day on Capitol Hill. Senator, thank you for making the time here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We appreciate it.
Hey, Rich. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm excited. I mean, what's not to be excited about? The Eagles win and Mark Fogel's coming home. What a week for us, huh?
I mean, first of all, that Eagles win was unbelievable. I had the opportunity to fly down with President Trump and be there for the game with him and then fly back. And I mean, that was beyond our wildest expectations. So that was awesome. Go Eagles. And then today, even bigger news, which is Mark Fogel on his way home from Russia, been held inappropriately, unlawfully as an American citizen, a hostage in Russia since 2021. And we've been working hard to get him home. And President Trump promised his mom, 95-year-old mother who has been fighting every day for her son, that he was going to get her home. And here we are 22 days into his presidency, and he's coming home. He'll land later tonight in America. So it's a day for celebration.
Absolutely. And I wanted you to come on the show today to say thank you, because one of the first things you did as a United States senator was sign a letter with Senator John Fetterman asking President Trump to please do everything he could to get Mark Fogel home.
No, yeah, no doubt. You know, I picked up when he's from Western Pennsylvania. He's actually from Indiana, where my dad grew up. And he's been held unlawfully. And I met his mom at the Butler rally where President Trump was shot. And
amazing.
That's where the president met her, too. And he promised her that if he won, he'd get her son home. And I promised her that I'd work hard, both as a candidate, but also, if I won the Senate seat. And so we've been in touch. She came to visit Dina and me in our home in Pittsburgh. And, my first thing I did when Senator Rubio came before Senate Foreign Relations, which is the committee I'm on, the first question I asked him under oath is, what are we going to do about Mark Fogel? And I'd spent time with him privately talking about it. I talked to Mike Waltz about it. I talked to the president about it. I talked to the hostage envoy about it. And, of course, this is a bipartisan issue. So Senator Fetterman and I talked about it. We agreed. Our congressional delegation, a number of Democrats and Republicans, signed a letter to Secretary Rubio. And this is what America First means. You know, you get in office and you're fighting for America's interest every day. That may be America's role in the world. That may be making sure we have fair trade. That means, you know, getting our American citizens home if they're wrongfully held in some foreign country. And, I really take my hat off to President Trump. He made a promise and he delivered right out of the gate.
Yeah, no question about it. He did. And thank you for your advocacy on that. And it's a wonderful day for Mark's mom. I mean, to hear her talk and it really great. And she's so grateful to President Trump. Well, I have you, Senator. I know you got to run. I know you have a ton of time for us. But I did want to ask you in your capacity as chairman of the Subcommittee on Foreign Relations. Obviously, the King of Jordan was at the White House today. President Trump, again, talking about Hamas and giving a deadline, basically, of Saturday for all the hostages to be released.
Yeah, well, I was just right before this call, I was with the King of Jordan. He after he left the White House, he came up here on Capitol Hill, and a small group of senators met with him. And listen, I would say what I've been saying, which is Hamas needs to be exterminated. We need to destroy that military capability. These hostages have been held for too long, and I really admire the president stepping up and saying, listen, let's enough of the nonsense, bring our hostages home. There's both Americans and Israeli hostages, we're unacceptable. So we'll see what happens. I think President Trump is exerting the power and influence and leadership of the United States in pursuit of both its closest ally, or one of its closest allies in Israel, but also American citizens. And so, we'll see how it goes down here. But I think President Trump is shuffling the deck here. He's not approaching the Middle East the same way we've done it for 50 years. He's creating uncertainty in the minds of our adversaries, and that's what you can count on him to do, and that's why we make big breakthroughs. Under his first administration, big breakthroughs in the Middle East, the Abraham Accords. Under this administration, I expect we'll see more of the same.
Excellent. Senator Dave McCormick, thanks for your time today, my friend, and really great job, well done, with your efforts to help get Mark Fogle home to the United States of America. We appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rich. Good to talk to you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let's jump back in here to the Oval Office. President Trump and Elon Musk speaking. Let's take a listen.
Transparency is what builds trust. Not simply somebody asserting trust, so not somebody saying they're trustworthy, but transparency, so you can see everything that's going on. And then you can see, am I doing something that benefits one of my companies or not? It's totally obvious.
And if we thought that, we would not let him do that segment or look in that area. If we thought there was a lack of transparency or a conflict of interest, and we watched that also. He's a big businessman. He's a successful guy. That's why we want him doing this. We don't want an unsuccessful guy doing this. Now, one thing also that Elon hasn't really mentioned are the groups of people that are getting some of these payments. They're ridiculous. And we're talking about billions of dollars that we've already found. We found fraud and abuse. I would say those two words as opposed to the third word that I usually use. But in this case, fraud and abuse. It's abusive because most of these things are virtually made up, or certainly money shouldn't be sent to them. And you know what I'm talking about. It's crazy. So, but we're talking about tens of billions of dollars that we've already found. And now a judge who's an activist judge wants to try and stop us from doing this. Why? Why would they want to do that? I campaigned on this. I campaigned on the fact that I said government is corrupt. And it is very corrupt. It's very, very, it's also foolish. As an example, a man has a contract for 3 months and the contract ends, but they keep paying him for the next 20 years, you know, yeah. Because nobody ends a contract. You get a lot of that. You have a contract that's a three-month contract. Now, normally, if you're in a small, in all fairness, it's the size of this thing is so big.
Yeah.
But if you have a contract and you're in a regular business, you end the contract in 3 months. You know, it's a consultant. Here's a contract for 3 months, but it goes on for 20 years. And the guy doesn't say that he got money for 20 years, you know? They don't say it. They just keep getting checks month after month. And you have various things like that, and even much worse than that, actually, much worse. And I guess you call that incompetence, maybe.
Yeah.
It could be corruption. It could be a deal's made on both sides, you know, where the guy gets the money. He kicks. I think he has a lot of kickback here. I see a lot of kickback here.
There's a lot of kickbacks.
Yeah, tremendous kickback, because nobody could be so stupid to give out some of these contracts. Yeah. So he has to get a kickback. So that's what I got elected for, that and borders and military and a lot of things, but this is a big part of it. And I hope that the court system is going to allow us to do what we have to do. We got elected to among other things, find all of this fraud, abuse, all of this horrible stuff going on. And we've already found billions of dollars, not like a little bit, billions, many billions of dollars. And when you get down to it, it's going to be probably close to $1 trillion. It could be close to $1 trillion that we're going to find. That will have quite an impact on the budget.
Yes.
And you'll go to a judge where they handpick a judge, and he has certain leanings. I'm not knocking anybody for that, but he has certain leanings. And he wants us to stop looking. How do you stop looking? I mean, we've already found it. We have a case in New York where a hotel has paid $59 million, $59 million because it's housing migrants, illegal migrants, all illegal, I believe.
And they were being paid twice the normal room rate at 100% occupancy.
Unbelievable.
So it's a racket.
Mr. Musk, can I ask a question?
If I may, going for the president's comments, at a high level, okay, what are the two ingredients that are really necessary in order to cut the budget deficit in half from $2 trillion to $1 trillion? And it's really two things, competence and caring. And if you add competence and caring, you'll cut the budget deficit in half. And I fully expect to be scrutinized and get a, you know, a daily proctology exam, basically. Might as well just camp out there. So it's not like I think I can get away with something. I'll be scrutinized nonstop. But with the support of the president, we can cut the budget deficit in half from $2 trillion to $1. And then with deregulation, because there's a lot of sort of regulations that don't ultimately serve the public good, we need to free the builders of America to build. And if we do that, that means I think we can get the economic growth to be maybe 3%, 4%, maybe 5%. And that means if you can get $1 trillion of economic growth and you can cut the budget deficit by $1 trillion, between now and next year, there is no inflation. There's no inflation in 26.
Great.
And if the government is not borrowing as much, it means that interest costs decline. So everyone's the mortgage, their car payment, their credit card bills, anything, their student debt, the monthly payments drop.
That would be amazing. Be
That's
great.
A fantastic scenario.
Yes.
For the average American. I mean, imagine they're going down the grocery aisle and the prices from 1 year to the next are the same. And their mortgage, all their debt payments dropped. How great is that for the average American?
We had no idea we were going to find this much. And it's open. It's not like complicated. It's
not
simple
complicated.
Stuff.
It's like, a lot of work.
Yeah. You can't believe it. A lot of work. A lot of smart people involved. Very, very smart people. But you're talking about anywhere maybe $500 billion. It's crazy the kind of numbers you're talking
really crazy.
About. You know, normally when you're looking at something, you're looking for one out of 100. Here you're almost reversing it. You look for one that's good.
Yeah.
And you can look at the title. And you say, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And the public gets it. You know, the public gets it. You've seen the polls. The public is saying, why are we paying all this money? This for years. This has gone on.
Senator Rand Paul today said that DOGE cuts will ultimately need a vote in Congress. Do you agree with that? Is that the plan?
I really don't know. I know this. We're finding tremendous fraud and tremendous abuse. If I need a vote of Congress to find fraud and abuse, it's fine with me. I think we'll get the vote, although there'll be some people that wouldn't vote. And how could a judge want to hold us back from finding all of this fraud and finding all of this incompetence?
Why would Congress
want to do that? Now, Congress, if we do need a vote, I think we'd get a very easy vote because we have a track record now. We've already found billions of dollars of abuse, incompetence, and corruption. A lot of corruption.
If a judge does block one of your policies, part of your agenda, will you abide by that ruling? Will you comply?
Well, I always abide by the courts, and then I'll have to appeal it. But then what he's done is he's slowed down the momentum, and it gives crooked people more time to cover up the books. You know, if a person's crooked and they get caught, other people see that, and all of a sudden it becomes harder later on. So, yeah, the answer is I always abide by the courts. Always abide by.
What a dictator.
Appeal.
What a monster.
It took a long time, and I would hope that a judge, if you go into a judge and you show him, here's a corrupt situation. We have a check to be sent, but we found it to be corrupt. Do you want us to send this corrupt check to a person, or do you want us not to give it and give it back to the taxpayer? I would hope a judge would say, don't send it, give it back to the taxpayer.
Yeah, if I can add to that, what we're finding is that a bunch of the fraud is not even going to Americans. So I think we can all agree that if there's going to be fraud, it should at least go to Americans. But a bunch of the fraud rings that are operating in the United States and taking advantage of the federal government, especially in the entitlements programs, are actually foreign fraud rings. They're operating in other countries and actually exporting money to other countries. We should stop that.
Mr. Musk,
and this is big numbers. We're about $100 to $200 billion a year.
Sure.
Serious money.
Mr. Musk, you said on X that an example of the fraud that you have cited was $50 million of condoms was sent to Gaza. But after fact-check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique, and the program was to protect them against HIV. So can you correct the statements? It wasn't sent to Hamas, actually. It was sent to Mozambique, which makes sense why condoms was sent there.
Yeah.
And how can we make sure that all the statements that you said were correct, so we can trust what you say.
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000. I mean, we will make mistakes, but we'll act quickly to correct any mistakes. I'm not sure we should be sending $50 million worth of condoms to anywhere, frankly. I'm not sure that's something Americans would be really excited about. And that is really an enormous number of condoms, if you think about it. But if it went to Mozambique instead of Gaza, I'm like, okay, that's not as bad, but still, why are we doing that?
Can you talk a little bit about how closely you're working with agency heads as you're directing these cuts? Do they have how much input do agency heads have when you're making these decisions?
We work closely with the agency heads. There are sort of checks in place. So it's not just us just going in and doing things willy nilly. It's in partnership with the agency heads, and I check frequently with the president to make sure that this is what the president wants to have happen. So we talk almost every day, and I double check things to make sure, is this something, Mr. President, you want us to do this? We'll do it.
USAID has been one of your main targets. Are you concerned at all that some of the cuts or that shutting that agency altogether may lead to diseases or other bigger problems starting in other countries that then come to the United States?
Yeah, so that's an interesting example. So that's something where we work closely with the State Department and Secretary Rubio. And we have, for example, turned on funding for Ebola prevention and for HIV prevention.
You said?
Yes, correct. We are moving fast, so we will make mistakes, but we'll also fix the mistakes very quickly.
So, do you see it as a worthy cause, USAID?
I think that there's some worthy things, but overall, if you say what is the bang for the buck, I would say it was not very good. And there was far too much of what USAID was doing was influencing elections in ways that I think were dubious and do not stand the light of day.
I can just ask a follow-up to the Pentagon contracts. If you have received billions of dollars in contracts from the Pentagon, and the president's directing you to look into the Department of Defense, is that a conflict of interest?
Yes, which we definitely need to do and are going to do at the president's request.
Does that present a conflict of interest for you?
No, because you'd have to look at the individual contract and say, first of all, I'm not the one, filing the contract. It's people like SpaceX or someone who will be putting for the contract. And I'd like to say, if you see any contract where where it was awarded to SpaceX and it wasn't by far the best value for money for the taxpayer, let me know, because every one of them was.
The president said the other day that you might look at treasuries. Could you explain that a little bit? What kind of fraud, and that question goes to both of you, what kind of fraud are you expecting to see or do you see right now in U.S. treasuries?
Yeah, I think you mean the Treasury Department as opposed to Treasury bills.
You also referenced treasuries on Air Force One the other night.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, really the first order of business is to make sure we're actually collecting. Sorry for this. I thought my son might enjoy this, but he's sticking his fingers in my ears and stuff. So it's a bit hard to hear sometimes. Hey, stop that. The stuff we're doing with the Treasury Department is so basic that you can't believe it doesn't exist already. So for example, like I mentioned, just making sure that when a payment goes out, it has to have a payment categorization code. Like, what type of payment is this? You can't just leave the field blank. Currently, many payments, the field is left blank. And you have to describe what's the payment for, some basic rationalization. That also is left blank. So this is why, the Pentagon, when's the last time the Pentagon passed an audit? I mean, a decade ago, maybe? Ever? Really? And we want to, just in order to actually pass audits, you have to have financial information that allows you to trace the payments. And once in a while, the Treasury has to pause payments if it thinks the payment is going to a fraudulent organization. If a company or an organization is on a do not pay list, we should not pay it. I'm sure you would agree. Like, if it's quite hard to get on that payment, the do not pay list, it means that this is someone that is like dead people, terrorists, known fraudsters, that kind of thing. We should not pay them. But currently we do, which is crazy. We should stop that.
many transactions. And by the way, hundreds, thousands of transactions like that. You know, we have a big team. And for the sake of the country, I hope that the person that's in charge and the other people that report to me that are in charge are allowed to do the right thing, namely make sure everything's honest, legitimate, and competent. But we're looking at just when you look at USAID, that's one. We're going to look at the military. We're going to look at education. They're much bigger areas. But the USAID is really corrupt. I'll tell you, it's corrupt. It's incompetent, and it's really corrupt. And I can't imagine a judge saying, well, it may be corrupt, but you don't have the right. You got elected to look over the country and to, as we say, make America great again. But you don't have the right to go and look and see whether or not things are right that they're paying or that things are honest that they're paying. And nobody can even believe this. Other people, law professors, they've been saying, how can you take that person's right away? You're supposed to be running the country, but we're not allowed to look at who they're paying it to and what they're paying. We have massive amounts of fraud that we caught. I think we probably caught way over a lot of billions of dollars already in, 2 weeks?
Yes.
And it's going to go to numbers that you're not going to believe. And much is incompetence and much is dishonesty. We have to catch it. And the only way we're going to catch it is to look for it. And if a judge is going to say you're not allowed to look for it, that's pretty sad for our country. I don't understand how it could even work.
I'm sorry, program, can you personally guarantee that...
Which one?
The buyout program, the offer to federal workers. Can you personally guarantee that the workers who opt in to resign now will be paid through
September? Well, they'll get their money, but they're getting a good deal. They're getting a big buyout. And what we're trying to do is reduce government. We have too many people. We have office space. It's occupied by 4%. Nobody's showing up to work because they were told not to. And then Biden gave them a 5-year pass, some of them, 48,000 of them, gave them a 5-year pass that for 5 years you don't have to show up to work. And let me tell you, this is largely, much of this stuff is because of Biden. It's his fault. He allowed this country, what he did on our border. What he did on our border is almost not as bad as what he did with all of these contracts that have come out. It's a very sad day when we look at it. I can't even believe it. But many contracts just extend and they just keep extending and there was nobody there to correct it. And that cannot be.
All right, we're going to take another break here. We've got to take a break. Sorry to interrupt the president, but just pause it for a second here. We got a hard break. We'll come back. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Keep the comments coming on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.